This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, sports reporter with SB Live. And with me, the usual trio, we have the host of the ISO Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network with SB Live Sports. We have Dan Dickow here. Also here, the prodigal son of Tacoma, sometimes Ocean Shores, but mostly Tacoma, your pal and mine, Todd Millis. Today we're going to be talking AAU, the live periods from July, the first since the onset of the pandemic have been wrapped up. You have high school basketball players flying all around the country playing on various circuits. 2 weeks ago we gave you 10 names to watch, and now we're going to follow it up with 10 more names as things have progressed in these last 2 weeks. But first off, Todd, Dan, nice to be with you. How you guys doing?
I'm well. It's hard to believe that July is almost over. I know you guys are in full swing with your football prep for the high school football season in fall. I'm now getting my ideas in order for basketball coverage to work alongside you guys. But just plugging away on the ISO, plugging away on some other stuff here in Spokane. But I'm looking forward to some rain in Spokane, that's for sure.
I was just going to say something, Dan. We're approaching 50-something days without precipitation. Is it my imagination, or are people in Washington, at least on this side of the state, a little crankier? They say that they just sort of hold their breath to get to the beautiful summers, and now we've had 50 straight days of no rain, and now they're cranky. I mean, come on, Washington. Let's pick. Let's choose.
Well, there was a little bit of rain here in Spokane just the other day, just a trace amount. But I know it was very well received. That's an interesting one. People always complain about the rain here, and then we get a long stretch, and then people complain about that. So I think that goes to show that comment that I've heard in sports all the time. You're never as good as people say you are, and you're never as bad as people say you are. I think that goes along with the weather, too.
Absolutely. The only complaint that I have, I'm fine with the sun. Bring on the sun. We get enough rain here in the Pacific Northwest. But these 100-degree days, Dan, I don't know how you do it, man. Any listener who has tips on how to keep a place cool that has a ton of windows and no air conditioning, please reach out to me because I'd love to hear from you.
Well, don't you have a man-made lake at your property by now, Dickow? So you can just jump in your man-made lake when it gets that hot?
I wish that would be ideal, but no, we have a little, it's called the Little Spokane River, a short drive from our house, maybe 3-4 minutes. Occasionally in the past, we've taken our dogs down there to kind of run around and cool off, but haven't done that yet this year because we've been so busy with everything going on.
No question. Well, Dan, as you said, we have football fast approaching, and as you're gearing up for to put together some basketball coverage plans a couple months down the road, Todd and I are steeped in getting ready to unveil our preseason football coverage. So scorebooklive.com/Washington for our Washington site, although that we are in a lot of other states. But for those of you in Washington, scorebooklive.com/Washington and the SB Live Sports app, you're going to find a ton of high school football coverage here coming up in the next few weeks. And I don't know, this might be our last basketball centric podcast for a minute. So in that regard, why don't we just dive in? How about, so we're going to name five boys and several girls to look out for and who are worth watching out for from this AAU July 2021. Of course, there was a long, long NCAA recruiting dead period that lifted in June. These live sessions in July offered prospects the opportunity to get out of state, to go out and play in front of college coaches in person. And we saw a lot of players in Washington, elevating their profiles, showing for the hard work that they put in during the shutdown. And we named 10 of them a couple weeks ago. And so if you want to dive into that, those names, head back into the podcast feed because all 10 of those names are still extremely relevant. I mean, the guy I led off with, Tyler Bilodeau, is the player to watch in the state of Washington. He's, you know, might be the best player in the 2022 class in this state. He continues to see his stock elevate. He's continuing to hear from bigger and bigger schools. And, you know, if you're paying attention to his college prospects, keep a close eye out because there might be some big ones coming here soon. But let's start off, Todd, as our girls basketball, leading our girls basketball coverage, would you like to give us our first name on the girls' side?
Well, yeah, a couple weeks ago, you know, I talked about five girls that were playing for sort of what we call in the AAU circuit, the kind of the big three AAU girls programs, the Northwest Blazers, Northwest Greyhounds, and Tree of Hope. This list is from different programs around the state, not the big three, but I think some players that I think, you know, we've talked about before during the high school season. And the one I want to lead off with is Rosa Smith, point guard at Lake Washington. She was on our media day with Lake Washington. She'll be a senior, just continues to really showcase herself as a regional or you know, national type point guard. I got a text message from our boss, Ben Sherman, on Sunday. He was down at the California tournament. He coaches down in Oregon, and his daughter's team was down there. And he just happened to kind of peek over and sort of watch this game between EBC Elite and the Cal Stars, California Stars. And I get this text message that said, I'm watching Rosa Smith play right now. She's the best player on the floor. And I think, you know, recruiters have sort of reflected that. She's really kind of moved into that sort of that lower level WCC type recruit and getting that sort of attention. I think she kind of entered the summer with some Big Sky offers, but she's even getting some calls from Pac-12, from very interested Pac-12 coaches as well. And I, you know, talking to her coach Jeff Wilson at Lake Washington, who's monitored her summer recruiting pretty well, he thinks this would have happened last year if there was not a COVID season, that she was primed for this type of breakout. It just sort of happened, you know, her junior season going into her senior season. She's just, people don't realize how much is on her plate as a ball handler at Lake Washington, but she's really kind of upped her scoring. You know, detractors are always going to kind of point to her size. She's, you know, 5'4", 5'5". But, I mean, if you look across the board, there's been that sort of type point guard that's played at Power 5, in Power 5 conferences and even the WNBA. So Rosa Smith's stock continues to climb after a great summer. Very interested to see what happens heading into her senior year.
Yeah, a great player. We talked to at length on video. I think you, the both of you guys, Dan and Todd, in our SB Live media days in the spring, and you know, carries herself really well, and is primed for, you know, a really big high school season next year, just like she had these last 2 years. So, love that for your first pick, Dan. For you and I, I'll just kick things off. Our first two. Are going to be, you know, Todd, I guess the last time you started out with two, so I'm going to jump in and start out with two on the boys' side because they're backcourt mates. They play for Tim Kelly at Curtis. First guy is plays for Washington Supreme, 6'4", combo guard, Tice Paulson. Tice won the three-point shooting contest at the Under Armour Association's final weekend. He really started to separate himself, playing for Carl Howell on that Supreme team. Maybe started a little bit slow shooting the ball in Atlanta those first two games, but then really turned it on and turned some heads. He's starting to get a lot of calls, a lot of interest. His offers come from mid-majors, the Cal Polys, Easterns, Montana States, Portland. But that interest is starting to ramp up. Paulson is, you know, a great, great shooter who can do a lot more. Dan, what stands out to you about Tice Paulson's game?
His shooting ability and his IQ and toughness. You know, I think, you know, you go into a kind of a national event like that, and they put together a three-point shooting contest. You want to be a part of it, and then you want to perform well, and he did, and then he went out and won the thing. It's not as easy to shoot in those competitions as a lot of people think. You just kind of, if you get on a rhythm, you just got to try to keep it going. And it looks like that's what he did, was just keep it going. And then when I mentioned IQ and toughness, you know, I think that stems from the fact that for a couple of reasons, he plays in a really good high school program for a really good coach who does a nice job of teaching the right things. But then also, you know, if you track kind of his older brothers, you know, they were good players. And so you kind of have that little brother effect where you're probably tagging along to the gym with them. You're learning from watching them. And then when you get a chance to play against them in the driveway or in the gym, you have to compete like crazy to try to put up a fight. And so you grow your IQ and your competitiveness in that setting. And I think that's what he's done. And so from all accounts and in talking to Carl is, yes, he has had a very nice summer.
Second guy, his backcourt mate, could be somebody who we see really elevate into one of the region's top prospects and somebody who, you know, cracks their way onto national recruiting lists, you know, in these next couple of years. And that's Curtis combo guard, Zoom Diallo. Zoom had a really nice spring with Curtis. He just landed a UW offer. He's playing with Team Levine. Really, really stands out with his athleticism, just the flow of the game. He seems like the game comes to him really easily the way he plays. He can shoot the ball. He can do a little bit of everything. I talked to a former NBA scout, Matt McKay, who writes for Pro Insight, and got the chance to see Zoom, I believe in Omaha, playing on the in the Adidas final weekend, and he really liked just the effortless movement that Zoom exhibits. His athleticism is somebody that, for his age, as an underclassman, sometimes you see guys like that. The way that McKay kind of conveyed it was, there's a lot of guys that are great athletes at a young age, but they move like a baby deer. Like, they don't entirely know how to play within their body. And that's not Zoom. He's got a great frame. He's going to add to it, and just moves really fluidly. But you know, UW was the first, they came in and made that clear, but they're certainly not going to be the last. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see him in person. A couple events that I was at this summer, Team Levine was not there as they were, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, I've heard very similar reports that really good athlete, big time upside. And, you know, if he keeps working on the details, he will be a very good player. Not that he isn't now, not that he's not proving it out now. But, you know, I think when you look at the comment I made about, you know, the coaching that he's going to receive from his high school program with Tim Kelly, I think that is going to really help prepare him and kind of, you know, get him ready to continue to improve the way he has. Because he's, quite frankly, he's a name that, you know, we weren't talking about before this high school season happened in the spring. So if he keeps working at it, he's a guy that's definitely going to pick up some more offers. And I do like how you put that. UW made sure people knew that they were the first to offer, because quite frankly, in this day and age, you don't necessarily always have to be right, but you have to be first many times with your eval or your offer. And so, you know, a lot of times you do, as a college, want to say that you were the first, you saw something other people didn't see. So we'll see. That'll be interesting to see how his recruitment plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dan. You know, being in Pierce County, there are a couple really good ninth graders that class of 2024 this year. Trey Walker at Wilson. We've talked about him. Juliana Walker, his little brother, who's, I think, going to be a name that we're going to talk about. But there's nobody right now in Pierce County I would take over this young man. I've had a chance to see him play. He's going to be a point guard. He looks the part. He plays the part. I know there's a little bit of concern about some injury history. And you mentioned this too. He also has an older brother that's tore up the NAIA ranks over there in, where is it, Idaho, Montana. So he has that little brother syndrome too, but he's definitely somebody that we're going to rapidly see his recruiting stock rise. I've heard UCLA is on him. I mean, I think the whole Pac-12 is going to, is going to really know who this young man is very, very quickly.
Zoom Diallo, keep an eye out. Certainly a name that we won't be the last time we talk about him. So throwing it back to you, Todd, who's your second name?
Yeah, we're going to stay with the EBC Elite program that had a nice summer. I know we just talked about Rosa Smith. One of her starting mates on that top 17U team is a young lady named Claire O'Connor. She's kind of a 3-4 mix from Lakeside of Seattle. A really strong interior player, had a really good summer. Santa Clara, Hawaii, San Jose State have offered her this summer. It's going to be interesting because the Metro League, we kind of get fixated on what's going on at Garfield, what's going on at Eastside Catholic, and then this year what's gone on at Seattle Prep. But Lakeside of Seattle is this really young team, guys, that has a lot of underclassmen. And Claire O'Connor is kind of the leader of that team moving forward. They're going to be a team that we're going to be talking about here over the next 2 years, not only in the Metro League, but at the state level. And it's going to be very interesting to see how her recruiting takes off, especially after a really good summer. She and Rosa really kind of emerged on that top team as the two with probably the best summers.
All right, throwing it back to the guys. I'm going to go back to Team Levine. And that's a guy who I first saw at the playing in a breakout role in the state championship game in that state championship run in 2020 with Mount Si. He was a sophomore then. He's an incoming senior now. That's Quinn Patterson. Quinn is, maybe kind of fits in as like a combo forward, a good shooter. A solid two-way player and somebody that, if you looked at him and you saw him then, when I just said back in the state tournament 2 years ago, he's a completely different player now in that his athleticism, he's filled out a ton, his body control, and he feels that every part of his game since then has evolved. I talked to him, a couple weeks ago, shots quicker. He averaged, I think, like 22 points a game in that second weekend of Section 7. Getting to his pull-ups, his stops, his mid-range jumpers. Post-ups is something that he's maybe starting to incorporate in his game as he continues to project as potentially like a three or a stretch forward at the next level, depending on how he grows. But, Patterson's been in contact with some schools in the Pac-12, Mountain West, and has an offer from UCSD, an offer from Princeton, and is somebody that has had – a solid season for Team Levine. Dan, have you gotten the chance to see Quinn play at all?
I haven't seen him in person because, again, the events I was at, Team Levine was not there. But I've seen a lot of the videos, both from the high school season as well as during the AAU period, and I've talked to his high school coach over the years. It's funny. There's three guys now we've talked about on the guys' side, and they are all – guys that have older brothers that are playing at the college level. So they kind of get the advantage in the understanding of what it takes to be really good. And Quinn is kind of, taking what his older brother Tyler, who's now at Montana State, has done or did to have those opportunities and kind of tweaking it to make work for him. Their dad, Father Gary, was a college basketball assistant coach at one time. I apologize. It's escaping me where he coached, but they've got a great family background for basketball and knowing how the process works, as well as knowing, the time that it takes to become good, but then the timing of what it takes for that particular player to become good, because so many people get wrapped up in wanting things now, and not understanding the growth process and the curve is different for each individual player. And, and I think with having those older brothers, you see that you just have to work at it. And at some point things are going to click. And it sounds like it's really clicking for Quinn, at this time.
Certainly somebody who, I'm sure benefited from playing in front of college coaches, these past 6+ weeks, and, Mount Si had a really weird high school season. They only played like 8 games in the Kinko, and they were young and still kind of going through growing pains. And but really, really talented. And they're going to return, you know, maybe a 4A favorite or among the top crop of 4A teams next year. And Quinn's going to be right at the center of that. And so, you know, talking to people in that program, he's a guy who, you know, is really, really big in you know, showing up every day and leading in their weight room culture as they've returned, as he comes back from his tournaments with Levine. So Quinn Patterson is a guy who, you know, I expect to continue to improve. And I look forward to seeing how he does and what he looks like as the focal point of that Wildcats team this next upcoming season. So that is player number three on the boys' side. Todd, throwing it back to you.
Well, yeah. You know, I was listening to Dan talk. And Dan, I tell you, I think we got a family ties theme going here. Do you know what that is, Andy? Have you ever heard of family ties?
Don't do that to me. No, I have not.
I know Dan and I know what it is. Come on. It's a sitcom.
I grew up on the Brady Bunch, the Cosby Show. My parents were very good about that, about growing me up on things that they watched growing up too. But Family Ties did not make the rotation, unfortunately.
Okay.
That was about the same era, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't it, Todd?
Yeah. It was. I just thought, you know, that one would have hit your radar.
Hey, I'll
an old soul.
I'll sing you a Partridge Family song, but you ain't getting anything from Family Ties from me.
The listeners would pay extra for that, Andy. No, I'm gonna stay with the family tie. This is gonna be very interesting. A little different sort of family tie here. I did talk to the legend, a guy that's you know, obviously Dan's very familiar with. I talked to Al Aldrich yesterday. He's the director for the Cascades Express program. And the young lady that he bubbled about, again, we're going to go back to the Metro League. She travels down from Seattle to play for Al in the summer. Her name's Gabby Stewart. She was kind of the third option on that undefeated Seattle prep team behind Tamia Strickland and Molly Moffitt. Now, starting next year, it's going to be kind of her show. I mean, she kind of does it all for them. And Al really kind of bubbled about her her summer. She's a combo guard. Could play a little of the three, and then did play a little point guard for him this year. But he called it, she's sort of an all-around game changer. You're going to see her recruiting pickup. She's a high academic kid. The Ivy Leagues are really in on her. Some of the really high-profile, smart kid-only D3 schools are in on her. But again, when you sort of play in the shadows of two Division I recruits like she did at Seattle Prep, it takes a while for you to sort of emerge out of the shadows. But with her summer kind of leading that 17U Cascade Express team that went 20-4, undefeated the second half of the year, playing Al Aldrich type ball. Again, I think she deserves mention. Now, what's the family tie? Al made sure to tell me that her father, who's a doctor here in Seattle, was in Al's jazz band down there. I assume it's Prairie. I don't know if Al taught somewhere else, but she knows Gabby's dad from way back as a student. That's how long Al's been, you know, relevant in the state of Washington. So Gabby Stewart, Seattle Prep combo guard, is my third choice.
Nice. The Al Aldrich reference in the conversation. I'm sure you learned a lot about the game. One of the best high school coaches, regardless of on the boys or girls side in the state. That's awesome.
Well, I'm going to continue with your family ties reference, Todd, although, you know, if anybody is any young person listening to this podcast after hearing us babble on about that has probably since turned it off and gone and done something else with their life. But nevertheless, the next name on the boys' side is going to be somebody who I'm really excited to see this guy on the high school stage next year. He had a breakout season this year for Lyndon Christian. He's grown. He's got a great frame at 6'6". And his older brother is a former Division II National Player of the Year, has a great, great story. I believe he's playing overseas. That's Andrew Hamas, 2022 guard forward from Lyndon Christian. he kind of emerged as the guy on a young Lynn and Christian team and stepped in as the go-to scorer defender. And he's played with friends of hoop. I got a chance to see him play in Beaverton a couple weeks ago. And he really stands out with his, you know, he can shoot the ball. He's a good decision maker. And, you know, he's just got the, you know, a good overall skill set, picked up an Idaho State offer. And, I think, you know, FOH 17U coach Donald Brady kind of put it best. He said he kind of explained this to me, and I'm paraphrasing, but he goes, there's just certain guys that, you know, you can just tell have played around really, really high level players, and they play within themselves, decision making, as I mentioned, and Andrew fits that mold. Just a solid two-way player. You know, Idaho State, as I said, came in and offered him, and I don't think they'll be the last to do so. So Lyndon Christian continues to produce dudes. What do you think, Dan?
No, you're exactly right. And continue on with that family theme. That's unbelievable. We didn't even talk about that before we, you know, started recording this podcast, and it just kind of happened. You know, and with Andrew Hamas, you know, his older brother Dalton played for Ryan Looney at Point Loma before he went to Idaho State. And that's kind of the big interesting theme is, you know, he's knows the family character, the kind of structure, and he can probably relate to Dalton's growth and envision it in what Andrew's growth is going to be like. So another good call.
Yeah, it's nice to see a Hamas healthy on the high school stage. Dalton battled injuries, and you know, the crux of his great story was just how much, as you said, Dan, he developed in college and now into the pros. I should say Andrew's also got a Point Loma offer as well from Coach Matt Logie. Point Loma, of course, where Dalton played. So a lot of connective threads here. We've got one more on the boys' side, but before we get to that, Todd, you want to round us out?
Yeah, I mean, my last pick is probably the least recognizable name of the four. Her name is Naomi Hotchkiss. She's a 6'3", 6'4", interior player. Depending on how she fills out, she could be a post at the next level, but could play a little bit of the power forward. She does have some face-up stuff, good mid-range game. Pretty new to basketball. Only started playing basketball 3 or 4 years ago. But did join Nars Martinez's new group at FB Northwest Alliance and really kind of broke out for him in one of his top two 17U teams. Got scholarship offers. Again, we just talked about Point Loma, one of the really good D2 programs on the West Coast. Davidson, where obviously the Curry brothers played, and Cal Poly, all showing interest in offering. She's just sort of a natural throwback post player that her tendency is to go down there and sort of, you know, back to the baskets type stuff. She has to get a little stronger. You know, Puyallup graduated 6 seniors last year, will probably come into the season as one of the focal points as a junior. But watch out for Naomi Hotchkiss, not a name that's been discussed ever in any of our podcasts or preview stuff, but somebody to watch out for here in the future.
Right on. Well, we will certainly be doing so. And the listener, mark that name down. We've got one more on the guy side to shout out. And Dan, I'm going to throw it to you to do this because, from my understanding, this guy comes from the eastern side of the state.
Yeah, you know, and I know we chatted about this before we began recording with our prep, but you know, I'm kind of torn. There's two different guys from the Eastern Washington Elite 17U team that I kind of want to spotlight. One of them is actually not from the eastern side of the state. He just played for that program because it made the most sense for him, and as well as the roster build out of that team. And that would be Bryson Metz. He's from Vancouver Union High School. You know, I saw him play a number of times this summer after knowing and hearing quite a bit about him. And I like his game. You know, he's skilled, he's competitive, he's athletic. You know, the one downside that you're always constantly going to be hearing is his size. I try not to get as tied up or wrapped into height and weight and things like that, because I had to battle those kind of perceptions over the course of my career. But, you know, I think he's got a chance. I know some Division I schools are very interested in him. I don't think anybody has offered him yet as of, you know, a couple days ago when I had last heard. But he's a name to definitely continue to keep an eye on. He's got a great high school coach in Blake Conley. Played really well this summer at times for EWE. And then the other kid from Eastern Washington Elite 17U team, somebody that is really going to be a surprise name. Again, he's kind of that borderline Division I, maybe Division II type player, but I think his best basketball is ahead of him. And a lot of it is because he is from such a small town of Colfax. I mean, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but I believe they're either 1A or a B school. Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think Colfax is 1A.
Okay, so granted, a really small school with a police speed trap on your drive down from Spokane to Pullman. Unfortunately, I've gotten a ticket there before, and I've asked him about it because I've worked him out a number of times. You know, he said, yeah, even the people in Colfax have to worry about getting speeding tickets, so they drive well under the speed limit. But he's somebody that I think is a good shooter, has a chance to become a very good shooter at the high school level. But the reason I'm high on him is because he's really tough. He plays hard. He doesn't back down from anybody. You know, I think he's multi-positional, kind of a two or a three. I don't think he can play point guard, but he's a two or a three at the right level and at the right school. And because he's from a smaller school, I think once he gets around better players, where he has to consistently raise the level of his play to match them, I think his game will improve at a rapid pace. So those are the two other guys that I really wanted to spotlight. You know, one of them from the East Side, the other one just playing for an East Side team in the month of July.
Dan, what's his name?
Oh, did I not mention his name? My apologies. John Lustig. Okay. From Colfax. John Lustig.
Look forward to seeing him play on the 2B stage. I stand corrected, Dan. Colfax is a 2B school. And Bryson Metz, I should say, is a Spokane native. He grew up before they moved out to Vancouver in that area. So plenty of ties out there. His dad, Matt Metz, played in the same backcourt at Walla Walla CC as Auburn coach Ryan Hansen. They could fill it up back in the day. So that wraps up this week's podcast, this episode of the SB Live Washington podcast. We gave you more names to look out for going forward. There are plenty more. If we missed anyone or you have anyone else to mention, hit us up on socials. On Twitter, I'm at Andy Bueller. Todd's at Many Hats Millis. Dan is at Dan Dickow 21. Subscribe to the SB Live Washington podcast wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe to the ISO. And hey, basketball season, you know, might be not in the foreground, but we certainly won't be long before we're discussing it heavily. But until then, we're flipping that page to football. So lots to look forward to on the site. Really appreciate your guys' time. We will catch you next week. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week. To take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app
featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today.